Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome in. It's a Tuesday morning. Glad you're listening to us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Live on Twitter, live on X for you this morning. Hopefully you were on X last night listening to Donald Trump's interview with Elon Musk. It was outstanding. They had a long time. It started late because of threat. People tried to target it with a cyber attack to shut it down. The left was so worried about Donald Trump being able to express himself for however long that lasted. I don't know if it was 90 minutes or 2 hours. It was a lengthy interview.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was 2 hours. And it kind of sounded like you were just listening in on a phone call between two friends.
This morning, they're trying to claim that Donald Trump has new dentures and developed a lisp because whatever microphone he was on made his S's sound like they were flipping or thumping, and he sounded like Jake Tapper temporarily.
You sound like Sid the Sloth.
I'm just saying. I mean, but it's not true. I mean, obviously, it was the connection that he had that made it sound like that. This is the left. They had to find something to attack him on, and they decided they would attack the fact that his audio connection was not perfect during that entire thing. It was pretty amazing. If you haven't listened to it, you should take time to go do that. And the mainstream media tried to shut it down yesterday. I'm not kidding you. They tried to question whether or not they should allow it to go on. They wanted the president to intervene to prevent it. Can you believe that? In America, you're not allowed to go on and have a conversation on a social media platform that the left doesn't control. That's what it came down to. We should all be very frightened by that. Coming up, we're going to talk to the Libertarian candidate who will be running in November for Missouri Congressional District 2. Brandon Doherty is going to join us here about 7:22 this morning. We got Mark Walters. It's 2A Tuesday. We've got Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who has, of course, been slamming firearms as weapons of war, that even though he's never been in a war, he claims to have carried weapons of war. And he's obviously doubling down on their gun grab. And we're going to talk to Mark Walters about that this morning. But first, I want to get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I got infected about 2 weeks ago. It was my third infection, and I had been vaccinated and boosted a total of 6 times.
Wow, how many times have you been boosted? Why would you get all those boosters if it's done you absolutely no good at all, Mr. Fauci?
About 25 people were stuck in the Gateway Arch this afternoon for about 2 hours. It took help from the St. Louis Fire Department to get everyone out safely.
Channel 2 reporting on those poor souls trapped for 2 hours in the little egg going up the side of the arch. They got them out pretty quickly, but I'm hoping there were no panic attacks involved.
Would you be committing to close the immigration detention centers?
Absolutely, on day one.
Woo! Kamala, back in 2019 when she ran very unsuccessfully for president. Do you remember that? She was promising way back then that she was going to close the detention centers for all of the illegal aliens on the southern border.
Like, you are the path to prosperity, and I think Kamala is the opposite.
Oh, how about that? Little Elon Musk soundbite for you there last night in his comments with Donald Trump. He did not leave anything to the imagination in terms of where he stood on this. And it was refreshing because they didn't have scripts. They didn't have talking points. They talked about the Middle East. They talked about peace. They talked about Ukraine and Putin. And ultimately, Musk said, listen, I'm a Democrat, and I've always been a Democrat, for the most part, a very moderate Democrat, he thinks, but he doesn't see much of a choice in this particular case. Listen.
That's my honest opinion. I'm gonna get attacked like crazy, and, you know, I've also experienced quite a bit of lawfare myself, but I'm just trying to tell people my honest opinion, and I haven't been really active in politics before, and I'm just trying to point out that my track record historically has been moderate, if not moderate, slightly left, and so this is to people out there who are in the moderate camp to say, I think you should support Donald Trump for president. And I think it's actually a very important junction in the road, and we're in deep trouble if it goes the other way.
Deep trouble. He knows, because he knows this administration has in the past tried to influence and silence conservative speech they don't like on social media.
Mm-hmm. The same reason why it's effective to hear Elon Musk, who is a self-described moderate Democrat. The reason why that's so effective is the same reason, in my opinion, why it was a good choice for Trump to pick J.D. Vance, because he was outspoken about Trump. He didn't like Trump, and then he kind of changed his mind. So I'm hopeful that anybody who listened to that conversation last night between Trump and Elon Musk, who was on the fence, maybe they would understand that this truly is the best way forward for our country.
Yeah, I would agree. And yesterday, have you ever heard of a guy named Cleve Woodson?
No, but I like the name.
You do? Cleve Woodson.
If you say it like that, I do.
Cleve Woodson is a White House correspondent for the Washington Post. Yesterday, Cleve got an opportunity to ask a question to Corinne Jean-Pierre, the brain surgeon of a press officer that the White House has there, press secretary. And his primary concern was, what is Joe Biden going to do about Donald Trump going live on X with Elon Musk? Listen to cut number six.
Elon Musk is slated to interview Donald Trump tonight on X. I don't know if the president is going to. Feel free to say if he is or not. But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that, or stopping the spread of that, or sort of intervening in that? Some of that was about campaign misinformation, but, you know, it's a wider thing, right?
Yeah, no, and you've heard us talk about this many times from here, about the responsibilities that social media platforms have when it comes to misinformation, disinformation. Don't have anything to read out from here about specific ways that we're working on it, but we believe that they have the responsibility. These are private companies, so we're also mindful of that, too.
Oh, now they're mindful of it.
Look, it is. I think it is incredibly important to call that out, as you're doing. I just don't have any specifics on what we have been doing internally as it relates to the interviews. Not something that I'm not tracking, and I'm sure the president's not tracking it either.
I'm not going to comment on that. But basically, a Washington Post reporter wanted to know if the president of the United States was going to try to intervene in Donald Trump's interview on Twitter.
But we're well aware that the Biden administration was doing that. That's why you're going to get kicked off or put in Facebook jail if you talked about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. Like, you can't say things that goes against their narrative, or they will make sure you are censored.
We're living proof of it. We're banned from YouTube because I talked about ivermectin during the whole COVID outbreak. Honestly, three strikes, you're out. They have a policy at YouTube. And they would no longer let us carry the show on there.
My church is banned like every other week.
And now
from YouTube,
it's proven now that those of us who supported ivermectin were absolutely right. But to them, it was misinformation because they disagreed with it.
Because it didn't make Big Pharma money.
It's the most un-American thing I've ever seen in my life, potentially, when it comes to media trying to filter what you're getting. We know it happens. It's never been more obvious. Coming up, we'll get to Brandon Doherty, Libertarian candidate for Missouri CD2. Stay tuned.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know by now that we're on to November, that we're past the primaries, the Republican choice in Senate District 2, Ann Wagner and Ray Hartman tied up the Democratic nomination. But there is also a Libertarian candidate for Missouri CD2. His name is Brandon Doherty, and he reached out to me and invited him on the show. So, Brandon, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. Good to have you on here this morning. You know, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about First Amendment rights of Donald Trump to get on X last night and talk freely for 2 hours. And some people were trying to shut him down and shut down his speech. And I know that's one of the First Amendment protections is one of the things you've got highlighted on your website.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I think the freedom of speech is up there as one of the top two most important pieces of foundations of our society. And I think any attempts to stifle it, especially from the government, any government interference on it is an attack on the American people.
So where do you see your biggest differences between, a Republican candidate and yourself being the Libertarian candidate in this case? I mean, there's some crossover there, obviously.
Well, yeah. So I consider myself to be more of a conservative libertarian. What I would say separates me from Ann Wagner the most is that I'm not corporate funded to the tune of millions of dollars, and my voting record would show that. I think Ann Wagner, she votes to expand the FISA and spy powers. She constantly votes for consolidated appropriations bills that are filled with lobbyist pork, and she votes to expand the military empire. And I think if you look at who she's corporately funded by through her, because the FEC data is open information, you'll see that she's voting with her wallet, not her conscience.
So talk to me then about the military. Your platform is to bring every American soldier back to this country. And I think what you're saying there is you think Ann supports troops being overseas because she benefits from it somehow?
Well, I think the United States has been the last time the United States declared war was in 1942, and since then our military has been expanded all over the world. And I do think she does, if you look, she is funded corporately by large weapons manufacturers. So do I think that could weigh in her decision to make these votes? Absolutely. Why she makes these votes, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily say exactly, but I will say that if you look at where our military has been, especially in the Middle East since the year 2001, I don't think our expansive military empire has made us any safer. And I think if you look at the way that, if you look at her voting record and in places like Syria, for example, between 2015 and 2019, just for one specific example, I think that she, I think it does endanger the American people.
What's your stance on immigration? Because I'm looking at your website and it says something about increased points of entry.
So I definitely think the first thing we need to do is secure the border. Let me be clear on that. I think that basically what I believe with immigration is that it shouldn't necessarily be based on merit. It should be based on whether or not you could pass a criminal background check. Right now, our border is wide open, and I think that is a problem. I think what we need to do is secure the border and not allow criminals or drugs into this country. And we need to allow people in here who value the Constitution, who don't want to take our tax dollars, and who just want to work hard and live for the American dream.
Interesting. So you would support expanding legal immigration then to pass the million people a year that we already allow in legally?
What I would say is I think that what we need to do is not allow I wouldn't do that first. So what I think what we need to do is make sure that, first of all, the people coming into this country are coming here legally and they're not criminals. And then what we need to do is get them off of our taxpayer system.
Okay.
If they're not taking any of our tax dollars and they're coming in here not committing crimes, then I don't see a reason why people who value the Constitution and want to work hard and contribute to the society would not benefit America.
Do you support deporting the illegals who are currently in our country?
If I think if they're on our tax payroll, so if we're funding them, if we're funding their housing, if we're funding all of the social programs that are bringing them here and keeping them here without them contributing to society, then I don't think that's beneficial. The system we have in place right now is not beneficial for allowing more people into our country, because right now we don't have the place to house them. Our systems in place are draining the American taxpayer instead of benefiting the American taxpayer with immigration.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility that immigration could benefit the American people, but the system we have right now is not that.
Well, Brandon Daugherty, Libertarian candidate for Missouri City 2, Daugherty4Congress.com is his website. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brandon, good to get him on here. Get a little conversation about these issues that we talk about here all the time, and a little different stance on them there by Brandon. Coming up, it's 2A Tuesday. We're going to talk to Mark Walters about this Tim Walz character and his weapons of war comment targeting your American sporting rifles. We'll be back in just a minute.
And a gun owner who believes, as the majority of gun owners do, that we need reasonable gun safety laws in America. So as governor, he expanded background checks and increased penalties for illegal firearm sales. And together, when we win in November, we are finally going to pass universal background checks, red flag laws, and an assault weapons ban.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Our friend Mark Walters back with us from Armed American Radio. And Mark, there you have it. Kamala telling us up front she's going to be a gun banner the minute she gets in office.
Yeah.
You got to believe them. If they tell you the truth, you got to believe them, right?
The show's over. On that note,
we're done.
What else is there to talk about? We've been right all along. What do you... That's laughable. That's as laughable as ABC News saying that they've built a longstanding reputation on journalistic integrity and can't wait to hold the debate.
Well, the funniest thing is that she always is saying, on day one, I'm going to do this.
Right.
I'm sorry. Do you realize you're in office right now?
Yeah, for like 1,100 days or something.
Yeah.
Where did day one begin? I mean, these people are... I have to wonder, as I was listening to the clip, was she bobbing her head in unison to her hands moving up and down, too? I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it's
unbelievable. Yeah, but you know this Walls guy. I mean, I had him. I had the soundbite with him the other day where he's talking about, you know, he wants assault weapons bans. That's all he talks about. And of course, he discusses the fact that he was in wartime, right? I mean, it's whole part of his stolen valor problem. I think this might be it right here, Carl. Hang on.
We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states, and we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at.
Yeah, a little lie there out of his mouth that he's repeated again and again and again since he left the Minnesota National Guard and ran for office.
Yeah, he didn't just leave it. He ran from it, and his commanding officer issued, as you know, a scathing rebuke against him on a public Facebook post just the other day. And of course, you know, the journalistic integrity over at ABC, no, none of them are covering any of that. But, you know, here's a guy, and I'm glad we're talking about this as usual, because it is such a joke. These people are acting as if we don't know who they are. It is remarkable. And I was questioning on the NRA, Tim Walz is a joke when it comes to gun rights. this is just advice for you listeners. Never can you ever trust a Democrat with your guns. Now, the NRA gave him for 10 years gave him an A rating.
Wow.
They also gave Harry Reid an A rating. Yeah, that's for 10 years. He had an A rating from the NRA. So what does that say about the NRA? It tells me that they were duped. Okay? We have the benefit of hindsight. We can look back. These people will do and say anything. No matter what, they will sell out everybody. Why? Because Minnesota, let's face it, I've been to Minnesota many times. Used to broadcast up there live at the fair every year for a decade. Huge gun-owning population up there. But lots of Democrats. Lots of FUDs, as much as I hate to say that. Lots of hunters who really don't care about your AR-15s and your pistols. They care about their hunting rifles and their shotguns, period. And when you take a look at what he got away with in Minnesota, he thinks he's going to be able to get away with that nationwide, and he's not going to be able to do that. This is an unelectable ticket. I still feel very confident about that, guys.
Boy, I hope you're right. I mean, I'm watching some of these polls, and I expect the enthusiasm bounce. But, you know, Kim pointed this out to me earlier. They're targeting people on YouTube, and if you go on to watch a YouTube video, you have to watch a 30-second Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, you know, promotion first.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the way they're going about it, they are avoiding media interviews, and they're just putting ads out that say whatever they think people want to hear, and the media is perfectly fine with it. It's maddening.
Yeah, it is very frustrating, and you got to – I try to want to impart to my listeners this sense of reality. You've got to bring this back to reality. You predicted this. We predicted this. I predicted this, that they were going to get this huge honeymoon period immediately when she was unelected to the position she's at. She's not had one vote ever to put her where she is. But I think when they're going to get this bounce, it's going to be maddening and hard to watch through the convention. They're going to get their, you know, their cartoon show is going to go off. Media is going to glow them even more than they are now. But then reality is going to sink in. Then she's going to have to face Donald Trump on a debate stage, who is likely going to be armed with quotes from her that she's going to have to answer publicly in front of that debate stage. And that's when the gloves are going to come off. And I hate the visual here, but you're going to see the Empress with no clothing. And that's just the way it's going to play out. There's a lot of time between now and November. And look, if I could hold up what I want, I wish I had the video on radio, but we can't. I did it on my show. I'm holding my wallet in my hands, and this is what people are voting. We know how much money we put in our gas tank to go spend a ton of money on our grocery bills yesterday. And that's what this is going to come down to. We know the borders are open. We know she's a failure. And the vast majority of Americans, I believe with all my heart and soul, are not going to be duped by this gaslighting. They're scratching their heads just like we are by the millions.
I mean, you hear Kamala Harris at almost every rally now saying, we're going to ban assault weapons. Okay, well, if we have control of Congress, which I assume we're going to have control of either the House or the Senate, one of the other, or maybe both, hopefully both. I mean, I don't hear a lot of people being like, well, how exactly do you plan on doing that? And what even is that? You know what I mean? They say assault weapons. Okay, well, define that.
Okay, I can answer that. It's a scary answer. I've talked about it on my program. I look at this, you know, radio is theater of the mind. I want people to picture a stairway in front of them. Barack Obama took the first step up that stairway, okay? And he used executive action to do what he said at the time was all he could do. And we all know that if Obama could have banned everything with executive order, he would have done it. But then Joe Biden comes in and walks from the first step up to the second step and does things that even Barack Obama said he couldn't do with executive order. Now we have Kamala Harris, who wants to go up to the third step. They don't care about the law. They do not care about Supreme Court decisions. They will do whatever they want to do and then let it hash out in courtrooms across the country. In the meantime, it happens. So here, you know, the question becomes, where does that stairway end? Where's the plateau? Where's the landing? They don't care. They're just going to keep going. I wouldn't put past Kamala Harris to try to write an executive order to ban my guns on day one, which would be day 1268, I think, if the math is right or something like that for her.
Yeah,
and then let the courts hash it out.
Mark Walters, our guest from Armed American Radio. Listen, I wanted to get your take on the difference in these recent court rulings on the AR-15 bans. There was one in New Jersey that basically they overturned, but then one was upheld in Maryland. I know the difference is probably the appellate judges, and eventually this is going to end up in the court. But why this mixed, such a mixed bag on these bans?
Well, you know, this is what the Supreme Court, Thomas is itching for one of these cases. You have to remember that the Fourth Circuit case that you're referring to in Maryland is referred to as the Bianchi case. That's a very strong case. We knew that we had a three-judge en banc panel, and so did the entire Fourth Circuit, that was going to rule 3-2 in our favor that Maryland's ban on assault weapons was unconstitutional. Here we have the Bruin decision come down. The Supreme Court takes the Maryland case, grants it cert, then vacates the decision and remands it back to the Fourth Circuit in light of the Bruin decision. So the Fourth Circuit did something very unusual. The whole circuit, they had look at it, and they pushed it off for a year until they finally got around to it because they're waiting out the election. This is the way the courts, these liberals, play games. Well, they finally issued their ruling, and they ruled in favor of Maryland.
And a gun owner who believes, as the majority of gun owners do, that we need reasonable gun safety laws in America. So as governor, he expanded background checks and increased penalties for illegal firearm sales. And together, when we win in November, we are finally going to pass universal background checks, red flag laws, and an assault weapons ban.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Our friend Mark Walters back with us from Armed American Radio. And Mark, there you have it. Kamala telling us up front she's going to be a gun banner the minute she gets in office.
Yeah.
You got to believe them. If they tell you the truth, you got to believe them, right?
The show's over. On that note,
we're done.
What else is there to talk about? We've been right all along. That's laughable. That's as laughable as ABC News saying that they've built a longstanding reputation on journalistic integrity and can't wait to host the debate.
Well, the funniest thing is that she always is saying, on day one, I'm going to do this. Right. I'm sorry. Do you realize you're in office right now?
Yeah, for like 1,100 days or something.
Yeah.
Where did day one begin? I mean, these people are... I have to wonder, as I was listening to the clip, was she bobbing her head in unison to her hands moving up and down, too? I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, but you know, this Walls guy, I mean, I had him, I had the soundbite with him the other day where he's talking about, you know, he wants assault weapons bans. That's all he talks about. And of course, he discusses the fact that he was in wartime, right? I mean, it's whole part of his stolen valor problem. I think this might be it right here, Carl. Hang on.
We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states, and we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at.
Yeah, a little lie there out of his mouth that he's repeated again and again and again since he left the Minnesota National Guard and ran for office.
Yeah, he didn't just leave it. He ran from it. And his commanding officer issued, as you know, a scathing rebuke against him on a public Facebook post just the other day. And, of course, you know, the journalistic integrity over at ABC, none of them are covering any of that. But, you know, here's a guy, and I'm glad we're talking about this as usual, because it is such a joke. These people are acting as if we don't know who they are. It is remarkable. And I was questioning on the NRA. Tim Walz is a joke when it comes to gun rights. This is just advice for you listeners. Never can you ever trust a Democrat with your guns. Now, the NRA gave him for 10 years, gave him an A rating.
Wow.
They also gave Harry Reid an A rating. Yeah, that's for 10 years. He had an A rating from the NRA. So what does that say about the NRA? It tells me that they were duped. Okay. We have the benefit of hindsight. We can look back. These people will do and say anything, no matter what. They will sell out everybody. Why? Because Minnesota, let's face it, I've been to Minnesota many times. Used to broadcast up there live at the fair every year for a decade. Huge gun-owning population up there. But lots of Democrats, lots of FUDs, as much as I hate to say that. Lots of hunters who really don't care about your AR-15s and your pistols. They care about their hunting rifles and their shotguns, period. And when you take a look at what he got away with in Minnesota, he thinks he's going to be able to get away with that nationwide, and he's not going to be able to do that. This is an unelectable ticket. I still feel very confident about that, guys.
Boy, I hope you're right. I mean, I'm watching some of these polls, and I expect the enthusiasm bounce. But, you know, Kim pointed this out to me earlier. They're targeting people on YouTube, and if you go on to watch a YouTube video, you have to watch a 30-second Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, you know, promotion first.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the way they're going about it, they are avoiding media interviews, and they're just putting ads out that say whatever they think people want to hear, and the media is perfectly fine with it. It's maddening.
Yeah, it is very frustrating, and you got to – I try to want to impart to my listeners this sense of reality. You've got to bring this back to reality. You predicted this. We predicted this. I predicted this, that they were going to get this huge honeymoon period immediately when she was unelected to the position she's at. She's not had one vote ever to put her where she is. But I think when they're going to get this bounce, it's going to be maddening and hard to watch through the convention. They're going to get their cartoon show is going to go off. Media is going to glow them even more than they are now. But then reality is going to sink in. Then she's going to have to face Donald Trump on a debate stage, who is likely going to be armed with quotes from her that she's going to have to answer publicly in front of that debate stage. And that's when the gloves are going to come off. And I hate the visual here, but you're going to see the Empress with no clothing. And that's just the way it's going to play out. There's a lot of time between now and November. And look, if I could hold up what I want, I wish I had the video on radio, but we can't. I did it on my show. I'm holding my wallet in my hands, and this is what people are voting. We know how much money we put in our gas tank to go spend a ton of money on our grocery bills yesterday. And that's what this is going to come down to. We know the borders are open. We know she's a failure. And the vast majority of Americans, I believe with all my heart and soul, are not going to be duped by this gaslighting. They're scratching their heads just like we are by the millions.
I mean, you hear Kamala Harris at almost every rally now saying, we're going to ban assault weapons. Okay, well, if we have control of Congress, which I assume we're going to have control of either the House or the Senate, one of the other, or maybe both, hopefully both. I mean, I don't hear a lot of people being like, well, how exactly do you plan on doing that? And what even is that? You know what I mean? They say assault weapons. Okay, well, define that.
Okay, I can answer that. It's a scary answer. I've talked about it on my program. I look at this, radio is theater of the mind. I want people to picture a stairway in front of them. Barack Obama took the first step up that stairway, okay? And he used executive action to do what he said at the time was all he could do. And we all know that if Obama could have banned everything with executive order, he would have done it. But then Joe Biden comes in and walks from the first step up to the second step and does things that even Barack Obama said he couldn't do with executive order. Now we have Kamala Harris, who wants to go up to the third step. They don't care about the law. They do not care about Supreme Court decisions. They will do whatever they want to do and then let it hash out in courtrooms across the country. In the meantime, it happens. So here, the question becomes, where does that stairway end? Where's the plateau? Where's the landing? They don't care. They're just going to keep going. I wouldn't put past Kamala Harris to try to write an executive order to ban my guns on day one, which would be day 1268, I think, if the math is right or something like that for her.
Yeah,
and then let the courts hash it out.
Mark Walters, our guest from Armed American Radio. Listen, I wanted to get your take on the difference in these recent court rulings on the AR-15 bans. There was one in New Jersey that basically they overturned, but then one was upheld in Maryland. I know the difference is probably the appellate judges, and eventually this is going to end up in the court. But why this mixed bag on these bans?
Well, this is what the Supreme Court, Thomas is itching for one of these cases. You have to remember that the Fourth Circuit case that you're referring to in Maryland is referred to as the Bianchi case. That's a very strong case. We knew that we had a three-judge en banc panel, and so did the entire Fourth Circuit, that was going to rule 3-2 in our favor that Maryland's ban on assault weapons was unconstitutional. Here we have the Bruin decision come down. The Supreme Court takes the Maryland case, grants it cert, then vacates the decision and remands it back to the Fourth Circuit in light of the Bruin decision. So the Fourth Circuit did something very unusual. The whole circuit, they had look at it, and they pushed it off for a year until they finally got around to it because they're waiting out the election. This is the way the courts, these liberals, play games. Well, they finally issued their ruling, and they ruled in favor of Maryland, saying it was unconstitutional. Now it's going to go back to the Supreme Court. We feel confident that the court's going to take it because they already took it and remanded it back in light of Bruin.
Right.
Now they're going to read that decision, and they have no choice but to take it. We feel confident of that. Once we get it to the Supreme Court, Thomas is going to smack them upside the head with a rolled-up copy of the Constitution that's going to leave a mark.
I hope you're right, man. I really hope you're right. I just don't understand what's taking them so long. It's just so frustrating to watch, for sure.
It's horrible. Yeah.
It is horrible. Mark Walters, thank you.
God bless you guys for what you're doing. I love you.
Hey, same here, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate that. Mark Walters, and you can listen to Armed American Radio every afternoon on his show, armedamericanradio.com. Go check him out there. He's a great American. Coming up, Kim, what are we women about today?
I want to talk about this whole Red Sox player situation. He was caught with a hot mic, and what he said has landed him, well, he's gotten banned from the next two games. And really what infuriates me the most is where they're now saying that the salary from those, the money he would have had from those games, where that's going to be directed.
All right, it's coming up. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
This whole situation with this Boston Red Sox outfielder, Jaron Duran, I think is how you say his name, is really bothering me. So he supposedly is caught on a hot mic yelling some homophobic slur. There was a fan who was heckling him when they were playing the Astros on Sunday.
It broadcast.
So what they've done is they've said you're suspended, you're banned, whatever you want to call it. They're calling it banned from the next two games. But this is actually what bothers me even more than that, is they're saying that any sort of money that he would have gotten from those two games has to be donated to this LGBTQ plus group, the Federation of Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays organization.
Seems punitive.
That really irks me. I mean, come on. If I were in his position, fine, suspend me. But who are you to tell me where my money is going to go if I don't support that organization or that cause? And maybe there's something in his contract that says that he has no say over that.
And he would look worse if
he came out against that, it would look even worse. You know, if he said, I can't support that organization, because he's already come out and said things like, I used a truly horrific word when responding to a fan. I feel awful knowing how many people I offended and disappointed. But then it goes on to say, his statement, I will use this opportunity to educate myself and my teammates and grow as a person. I think he's going to do a lot of growth over these next two games, man. He is going to do lots of growth.
He's
anti-homophobic.
He's getting off easy. Remember Tom Brenneman, the broadcaster for the Reds?
No.
He made some offhanded comment on a hot mic about San Francisco and gay people in San Francisco. And he got dropped like a hot potato. He's not on the radio anymore.
But this is still...
He's not a broadcaster.
This happened like 48 hours ago. He hasn't even maybe had time to be canceled yet because this story's just getting out there. So you know that's all going to come down the pipeline, and he could be canceled.
As a professional athlete, something tells me that he won't. But he did get... I mean, Brenneman apologized for it during the same game. He did all the apologies like this guy... It was a mistake, shouldn't have said it, blah, blah, blah. And they canceled him. Just wiped out his career. The 30-year broadcasting career, gone. Because he was politically incorrect.
That would be irritating as a player to have people heckling you. Now, when you're making several million dollars a year, you gotta suck it up. Like, suck it up, Buttercup. That's very annoying to listen to people saying things to you like this person was saying, telling him he needed a tennis racket to hit the pitch. He did not have a good, this guy did not have a good game. So maybe it was, maybe that
well,
was
he didn't have,
not
that,
far
the
off.
Pitcher owned him. The pitcher owned
the
him.
Pitcher
he
owned
was
him.
0 for
but,
3.
But that still would be annoying. But at the same time, I mean, you have to deal with it. You have to know you're going to get smack talk. That's just part of it.
I wonder why, when I read this morning that this player had been banned, I'm like, they banned him from baseball for this?
And that's
then
what
I read
thought.
The I read past the headline and I realized it was a 2-game suspension. So it's also the wording in there that makes it seem more punitive.
Yeah.
If you just suspended him for 2 games with no pay and you're taking his pay and delivering it to this PC group, why call it a ban? He's not banned from anything. Is he banned from the entire ballpark for 2 days? I don't know.
His pictures are everywhere. Don't let this man come within 200 feet.
I just wonder why you would choose to word it that way. Words matter. If you normally under those circumstances, I think they would say so-and-so's been suspended pending an investigation. So-and-so's been suspended for 2 days without pay. But to call it that he's been banned from the ballpark for 2 days, I don't even know what that means.
The question is, when he's done with his 2-game suspension, will he get boos from people when he his next at bat?
Well, I think the worst part of it is you didn't read the third part of his punishment. He's got to wear a rainbow jersey when he comes back to pay penance for, you know, this awful thing that he said.
He has to run around the field with a flag before the game, the LGBTQ.
Waving it, like, yeah, yeah.
pledge his allegiance to that group.
I don't support the use of that word. I understand why
it's
got a negative connotation these days.
Agreed.
That word, by the way, that he used was used to describe cigarettes when my grandmother was growing up. That's what she referred to as a cigarette. Isn't that weird?
I could say other examples of how words have changed, but I'm not going to. But the things you wear on your feet, the sandals, those have changed too.
Yeah, I agree. And he's apologized for it. In most normal situations, it'd be time to move on. We'll see how they handle that.
Yeah, well, the internet's going to absolutely annihilate him. That's really going to be the biggest punishment. I'm so on board with you about, I don't like that word. I think it's inappropriate. He shouldn't have said it. Don't condone it.
Yeah.
But this whole donating that to the salary to the group, get out of here.
Hey, coming up, when's the last time you heard any stories about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump? We're going to talk to Mark Lotter about that at about 8:20. And we're going to give you an update on the GoFundMe effort for Ferguson police officer Travis Brown, who was severely injured during riots in Ferguson last weekend. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
This whole situation with this Boston Red Sox outfielder, Jaron Duran, I think is how you say his name, is really bothering me. So he supposedly is caught on a hot mic yelling some homophobic slur. There was a fan who was heckling him when they were playing the Astros on Sunday.
It broadcast.
So what they've done is they've said you're suspended, you're banned, whatever you want to call it. They're calling it banned from the next 2 games. But this is actually what bothers me even more than that is they're saying that any sort of money that he would have gotten from those 2 games has to be donated to this LGBTQ plus group, the Federation of Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays organization.
Seems punitive.
That really irks me. I mean, come on. If I were in his position, fine, suspend me. But who are you to tell me where my money is going to go if I don't support that organization or that cause? And maybe there's something in his contract that says that he has no say over that. If he came out against that, it would look even worse. You know, if he said, I can't support that organization, because he's already come out and said things like, I used a truly horrific word when responding to a fan. I feel awful knowing how many people I offended and disappointed. But then it goes on to say, his statement, I will use this opportunity to educate myself and my teammates and grow as a person. I think he's going to do a lot of growth over these next two games, man. He is going to do lots of growth.
He's
anti-homophobic.
He's getting off easy. Remember Tom Brenneman, the broadcaster for the Reds?
No.
He made some offhanded comment on a hot mic about San Francisco and gay people in San Francisco. And he got dropped like a hot potato. He's not on the radio anymore.
But this is still...
He's not a broadcaster.
This happened like 48 hours ago. He hasn't even maybe had time to be canceled yet because this story's just getting out there. So you know that's all going to come down the pipeline and he could be canceled.
As a professional athlete, for something tells me that he won't. But he did get... I mean, Brenneman apologized for it during the same game. He did all the apologies like this guy... It was a mistake, shouldn't have said it, blah, blah, blah. And they canceled him. Just wiped out his career. The 30-year broadcasting career, gone. Because he was politically incorrect.
That would be irritating as a player to have people heckling you. Now, when you're making several million dollars a year, you gotta suck it up. Like, suck it up, Buttercup. That's very annoying to listen to people saying things to you like this person was saying, telling him he needed a tennis racket to hit the pitch. He did not have a good, this guy did not have a good game. So maybe it was, maybe that
well,
was
he didn't have,
not
that,
far
the
off.
The pitcher owned him. The pitcher owned
the
him.
Pitcher
he
owned
was 0-3.
But that still would be annoying. But at the same time, I mean, you have to deal with it. You have to know you're going to get smack talk. That's just part of it.
I wonder why, when I read this morning that this player had been banned, I'm like, they banned him from baseball for this?
And
I read past the headline and I realized it was a 2-game suspension. So it's also the wording in there that makes it seem more punitive.
Yeah.
If you just suspended him for 2 games with no pay and you're taking his pay and delivering it to this PC group, why call it a ban? He's not banned from anything. Is he banned from the entire ballpark for 2 days? I don't know.
His pictures are everywhere. Don't let this man come within 200 feet.
I just wonder why you would choose to word it that way. Words matter. If you normally, under those circumstances, I think they would say, so-and-so's been suspended pending an investigation. So-and-so's been suspended for 2 days without pay. But to call it that he's been banned from the ballpark for 2 days, I don't even know what that means.
The question is, when he's done with his 2-game suspension, will he get boos from people when he his next at bat?
Well, I think the worst part of it is you didn't read the third part of his punishment. He's got to wear a rainbow jersey when he comes back to pay penance for, you know, this awful thing that he said.
He has to run around the field with a flag before the game, the LGBTQ.
Waving
the,
it,
like,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
pledge his allegiance to that group.
I don't support the use of that word. I understand why
it's
got a negative connotation these days.
Agreed.
That word, by the way, that he used was used to describe cigarettes when my grandmother was growing up. That's what she referred to as a cigarette. Isn't that weird?
I could say other examples of how words have changed, but I'm not going to. But the things you wear on your feet, the sandals, those have changed too.
Yeah, I agree. And he's apologized for it. In most normal situations, it'd be time to move on. We'll see how they handle that.
Yeah, well, the internet's going to absolutely annihilate him. That's really going to be the biggest punishment. I'm so on board with you about, I don't like that word. I think it's inappropriate. He shouldn't have said it. Don't condone it.
Yeah.
But this whole donating that to the salary to the group, get out of here.
Hey, coming up, when's the last time you heard any stories about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump? We're going to talk to Mark Lauder about that at about 8:20, and we're going to give you an update on the GoFundMe effort for Ferguson police officer Travis Brown, who was severely injured during riots in Ferguson last weekend. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.